Mighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child, and those in labor, together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
84 will be read responsibly by half verse. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Happy are those who dwell in your house.
They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you.
Whose hearts are set on the Lord's way.
Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of the springs.
The rains are like the pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of God
will reveal himself in time.
Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer.
Hearken, O God of Jacob.
Behold our defender, O God.
Look upon the face of your anointing.
For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 in my own room.
And to stand at the threshold of the house of my God, and to dwell in the tents of the wicked.
For the Lord God is both sun and shield.
He will give you grace and glory.
No good thing will the Lord withhold.
No good swallow with integrity.
O Lord of hosts,
happy are they who put their trust in you.
Lord, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, now and will be forever.
Amen. The second reading is a reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. But when he's 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to know you more clearly than ever before. To know you is really what life is all about. To walk on this earth and yet to be connected to the Most High God. To a power that's greater than us, but a God that is personal to us. So Lord, help us to have a faith this day that's real and rich and alive to meet every occasion of this life, but even more so that we can know you in the fullness and carry us into eternal life. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus.
You know, I have to be honest with you. You know, I mean, I've been getting these calls and people saying, you know, coming to church today because, well, it's my last one. No pressure there. You know, I mean, I'll be upfront with you. I mean, it's been driving me a little crazy. I was like, you know, I usually feel this ultimate. I used to, when I first got into the priesthood, I used to evaluate how good my sermon was going to be by how many times I threw up the night before. But, you know, it's interesting because I thought all week about what I would say in this. And actually, I've been thinking about this for the last 6 months or so. And, you know, at first I was going to try and do something cute, you know. Like, remember the one time, some of you might remember, I did my Louis Armstrong impersonation of It's a Wonderful World. You know, I thought maybe I could do that, but I'd done that already. And then I got this idea for another thing. I was going to sing, and some of you might remember this song. It's by the Manhattans, "Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye." I was going to do my best Barry White impersonation and sing, just say the introduction, which is in writing. Let me read it to you.
"This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit bad news. I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day, and since this is our last day together, I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye."
But to be honest with you, I didn't think it was a good analogy because, to tell you the truth, it's all about a guy having an affair and, you know, and just wouldn't work. But I really came to the conclusion that today I wasn't really wanting to be cute, although there's nothing wrong with being cute. What today I wanted was more than anything else, and what I think God wanted is for us to be connected. Connected this way and connected this way. How well are you connected? Because that's what this day is about. It's not about my last sermon. God knows if you see me on the side of the street, I'll probably give you a sermon. But it's about being connected. What do we mean to each other? And even more, do we know how much we mean to God? See, the good news is about God is what we do and how we perform for Him. Lord knows if that's the case, I'd have been dead thousands of years ago. But it's about how God loves us and how we respond back to that. You know, the real job for me here has not been so that you all could love me. To be honest with you, my real job here was for me to love God in front of you. I hope I did that. I really hope I did that. You know, it's about connection. It's about leading, about growth, about becoming a little bit less what you are right now and turn into a little bit more what you ought to be. You know, today, if you see in your insert, there was a choice of three Gospels. Ernie Bennett, who's going to be here next week to be the interim for you, which, by the way, I love Ernie. Ernie's going to be great for you. You're really going to enjoy Ernie, and I'm not just saying that. But he asked me what I would preach on, and he goes, well, next week's the baptism of Jesus. What are you going to preach on this one? And I said, well, let me do the one that I think fits best, which is the story of the 12-year-old Jesus. And the story of the 12-year-old Jesus is only recorded in one place, and that's in the Gospel of Luke. It's an interesting story. It tells that it's a time for the festival of Passover. And it's the custom of Mary and Joseph, because they're Orthodox Jews, that they take the whole family from Nazareth, which is about 100 miles, down to Jerusalem. And they spend the time there in a religious celebration. It's interesting because when it gets time for them to go back home, as you just heard me read, what happens? Jesus stays behind. They don't know it. They travel a full day, and then they realize at night that, wait a second, what's going on here? Jesus is in the group of travelers. I mean, it was probably a large group. It was understandable. So what do? They travel another day back, and then they search for Jesus, and they find him. It's 3 days. There's always a reference to the third day. Just remember that. When they find him, there's a dialogue that goes on between, really, Mary and Jesus. Joseph is present. But it's interesting because the dialogue is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, says to Jesus, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." I mean, she's basically chewing him out. You know, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to your father? Jesus responds back very clearly and says this: "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And Joseph, you don't hear anything from. Nothing. Mary's anxious. Mary's a mom, you know? What would you expect? My son, he's 12 years old, he's gone, I'm missing. I haven't seen him for 3 days, what's going on? And don't forget, she'd never been away from him at all. He hadn't gone to summer camp. Never been separated from at all. Jesus, he basically looks at her and goes, "Don't you know who I am? I've been trying to reveal myself to you, and don't you know who I am? Do you know me just as, you know, your child, or do you know me also as something more than just your child?" And Joseph? I think Joseph's standing there like this. And when Jesus sends back, and this is my interpretation, so please report me to the bishop if you think I'm wrong. Because I don't care, I'm a short time. But I think Joseph's response is a wink and a nod. Because I think Joseph may have said, "I've always known this. I don't know what to do with it, but I don't have to do anything with it." You know, that's a powerful statement. When you sort of just know. You don't feel responsible for the whole nine yards. You just kind of know. You know, I would hope that that's at least where I've kind of matured to a little bit. I don't know whether I have or not, you know. As I always say, as people leave, how you doing today, Jim? Well, I'm doing great. You know, I had two goals in life, never to have a real job and never to grow up. I've done it, you know. But there is a sense of just knowing that God is with you even when everything's falling apart in your own life. I hope you have that. I hope you've seen that in me. When the worst calamities that can come, you kind of just, well, it sucks, but it's okay. God's with me. Because to me, that is what the essence of the Christian faith is. It's not the position you have in your life with God. It's the position your God has in your life. And it's a relationship. Think of the relationships you had over. I mean, all of us have had physical relationships. All of us have had emotional relationships. But how many times have you had a spiritual relationship with somebody? And I mean a spiritual relationship with somebody. I'm talking about where you can talk on a different level, where you can be vulnerable, where you can be transparent, where all of a sudden you can just be who you are. You know, whether you like it or not, you gave me that. That's what I'm so grateful for. You guys gave me the ability just to be Jim. You know, I mean, you know, I think and I hope I really know who I am as Jim. You know, I've talked to a lot of priests when they leave. Who am I going to be? I'm not the rector. You know what? I'm a priest by the name of Jim. I'm not Jim who's a priest. And there's a huge difference. Because when you have your identity made up in what you do, sooner or later, you're going to be really disappointed and stumble and fall and get lost. I'll be upfront with you. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I don't think I'll ever get lost. I don't know where I'll be going, but I'll always know who I'm with. And I hope you always know who you're with. You know, the interesting part about the scripture that I discovered last night was, you know, at the end of it, if you look at the last lines of it, it says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." Well, we all can relate to Jesus because we all are increasing in years. I wonder how many of us are really increasing in our wisdom. Where we learn how to take life on life's terms. Where we, you know, meet people where they're at rather than where we want them to be. Where we can accept what we need to accept and change the things we need to change. You see, to me, that's how you know whether you really know yourself and whether you really know God. Because if you can accept the things you can't change and have courage to change the things you can, then you're probably walking pretty close to the Lord. I do that about 60% of the time now. But I'm way up from the 30 I used to be at. It's interesting because we increase in wisdom, we increase in years, and it goes together. I want to grow old gracefully. I want to grow old fun. I want every day to be an adventure, and if it's my last one, then let's fill it up. Because God is so gracious and so giving and abundant. It's abundance that we have at every turn, not scarcity. It's interesting. That's the way Jesus, he increased in divine and human favor. Joseph, whether you know it or not, this is the last story you hear about Joseph. You never hear about him again. Not in anyone. Most scholars believe that he probably died within a couple of years after this event. But Mary outlives Jesus. And once again, it says this. It says, and Mary pondered things in her heart. His mother treasured all these things. She pondered, she treasured. The gift that Mary had that sometimes I don't think I have is that when something goes on in my life that I don't really agree with or don't like, I wrestle with it. I want to change it. I want to change everybody's perspective of it so it's my perspective, not their perspective, and it's maybe not even the perspective of reality. But Mary treasures and ponders things in her heart. And really what that means is she waits to see how it's all going to unfold. Wouldn't we all be better if instead of jumping to judgment, we waited to see how things unfold? Then we try the new. That we try the things that are ahead. That we look and say, what's the new adventure? I love that. I love the fact that, to tell you the truth, every day is a chance, a new chance, to try and get it right. Maybe one of these days I might get one whole day. But it isn't about me today. It's about us. Me being cute, I thought of it yesterday, is that, you know, how do you get us? Well, it's you, plural. So it is you, but it's us together. And I might not be the rector of this church, but you're not getting rid of me. Because I hope that you carry me in your heart. And I hope some of the things you're still pondering in your heart. Like, what the heck did you mean by that? But I hope that at every turn that you hear the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that walks with you. He's the one that's present with you. Yesterday as I was praying and walking my dog, you know, I came across a song in which, Dave, you probably know, Ed Sheeran, he's an English pop singer, Supermarket Flowers. It's a whole song about, you know, his mother and her dying. But there was a line that really hit me. And it said this: I hope that I see the world as you do, because I know that a life with love is a life that has been lived. And then you know what he said? Hallelujah! We've lived together. We've loved together. That won't change. We might not be in the same exact location, but the physical relationship is far less than the emotional relationship. And the physical and the emotional relationship is far less than the spiritual relationship, which is a relationship that we have with each other, but even more we have with God, that can't be taken away from us. It's that we celebrate this day. In fullness of gratitude, in fullness of faith, in fullness of life. And just remember this: God never called you to survive and get by. He called you to live and live the life that is fullest. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen.